Acts chapter 9. We are thankful to see this good crowd this morning. Glad to see some visitors with us.
Amen.
Certainly just thankful for all the young people as well as all those fill every age category. Very hard to define what young is. We'll just go with it. Glad we all here. God knew who was going to be here, and He knows what we need. He certainly knows what I need this morning, so you pray for me. Acts 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they lay her in an upper chamber. Forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would come, not delay to come to them. And Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. We're going to cease reading with these verses, and we're going to go back to just a very familiar message and very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. But I want us to look at this and kind of take an elementary approach this morning. It says that there was a disciple. This was not just a good woman in the community. This was not just somebody that was doing a few good things here and there. It was a disciple. That meant that Dorcas had trusted Christ and was a follower of His teachings. Now, there's a difference between just trying to do something good and doing something for the Lord. You know, anybody can turn over a new leaf. Anybody can try to be a good moral citizen, but it takes Christ to really have it at heart. And so she was a disciple of Christ. And the Bible says that she was full of good works and alms deeds. I want you to think about that statement just a minute. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she had done. You know, if you run up here to McDonald's and you tell them that you want a Coke, you don't get a cup that's full of Coke. They fill it full of ice, and then they put Coke in it. So you got a little bit of Coke and a whole lot of ice. But you bought a Coke. You didn't get what you paid for, really, most of the time. Unless you tell them no ice. But, you know, you can't be full of several different things. And it says here, she's full of good works and alms deeds. To be full, that means containing or holding as much or as many as possible. To have no empty space. So we've got a woman here that is a disciple of Christ, and she is full of good works. She is full of alms deeds, which she had done. So this woman, you know, looked at life and she said, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. And I'm going to be what God wants me to be with all of my heart. And so this woman has surrendered her life to do good works. And she decided, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live out my faith before others. And as I look at this, and you might can correct me, but I believe what she's saying here is that I don't have room for anything else. I'm going to do what God wants. So this morning, I believe I can say this, she's letting her little light shine. With all of her heart, she's letting her little light shine. And so, she had a heart of love toward the Lord. Now you think about us, after that we're saved, and the direction we try to take in life. Many times we get saved and we say, well, this is what I want to do. This is the direction I want to go. This is what I want to enjoy. This is what I want to pursue. But we have a woman here that said, you know what? I'm going to surrender my life to the Lord and I'm going to be full of good works. Now, Let's examine these works just a minute. Brother Ryan, it says that she made garments. In other words, she stitched clothes. That's kind of a dying art. You don't see a lot of people stitching clothes anymore. It's easier to go and buy them. But that's what she did. I guess, Brother Freddie, at that time, there's probably a lot more need for somebody to stitch their own clothes than there are for us today, because we just run out and get what we want. But in that day, there was a need for it. And so that's the work. She's stitching clothes, and she's also distributing those clothes. So once she gets through, she goes out into her city, and she's looking for people to give these clothes to. And I thought about that. But I said, because certainly there's probably every now and then she gives it to somebody that we would say is not worthy to receive them. But she does it anyway. And I don't know that she's looking at that side of it very much. She's just going out and she's doing what she can for the Lord. And so she's going out and she's kind. And she's showing charity, the love of God, the love of Christ to others. Now, I said we're going to be a little bit elementary. She didn't go out and fix teeth, did she? You know why? Because she's not a dentist. She didn't go out and teach the children. She's not a teacher. She didn't go out and take somebody fishing. She's not a fisherman. She may not even like to fish. It's hard to believe somebody wouldn't like to fish, but she's not doing that. And so, what I'm getting at this morning, she did what she could with what she had. And I know maybe you've heard me repeat that. That's been on my heart and I can't shake it. And, you know, I try to get away from it. The Lord brings me back to it. But she took what she was able to do and she said, well, what I'm able to do, I am going to go out into this world and I am going to help others. I am going to try to be a blessing to others. Now, look at the fruits of this, that she's going out and she's at least showing the fruit of kindness. And she is showing the greatest gift that God has given the church. She's showing love, charity, a godly, agape type of love in her community, in her city. And when it's all said and done, they bring her and they wash her body and they lay her in an upper room and you have all sorts of people. All these different widow women, they're coming, they're weeping, they're showing these coats, these garments that she's made. It is obvious here, Brother Brian, she has been a blessing to a lot of people. And so when they see her, no doubt they say, you know, if there's anybody that's a Christian, this woman was a Christian. You know, if somebody knows Christ, this woman knew Christ because she's showing that in her life. She's living out her faith in front of others. She used her ability to live out her faith. I think about others in the Bible. We read about Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and a wife team. And I just, whenever you read about them and study them a little bit, it's absolutely awesome. That you've got a husband and a wife that's on the same page and they are doing everything they can for the cause of Christ. I believe we can say the same thing about them. They were full of good works toward the Lord. And so the Bible said that they were tent makers by trade. Of course, Paul was too. And so they run into Paul. They decide we're going to bring him in and we're going to work together. And Paul made a statement about them when he wrote a letter. I believe it was to the Roman letter there. He wrote a letter about them and he said that Aquila and Priscilla had laid their necks on the line for the cause of Christ. I believe they literally did that. That they were sticking their necks out at the expense of being killed. Possibly even come to a place where they did lose their head. They stuck their necks out for the cause of Christ. And so they, here they are just tent makers. And they're not trying to do something else. They are tent makers. So we are going to use this to help someone so that we can further the gospel. And so a little bit later on, they set up a church in their house, or at least the church is established in their house and they open up their home to have church. You look at that and say, boy, that's very inconvenient. But God's work was being accomplished. They opened their home for a church. Now, here you have these two and this husband and wife pair, and they have agreed, we are going to do what we can do to be a blessing in this world. So doing what you can with what you have is always a blessing. You know, God's not asking us, Brother Mike, to do what we can't do. God is not saying, church, I want you to take the gospel to the world and not providing the means for us to do it. God is not going to put on my heart to help someone if it's more than what I can do. But rather, He is going to make the provision and then use a willing person. I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to let God use you? Are you willing to open up yourself and be full of the Holy Spirit? To be full and let God use you for whatever purpose He needs. You know, I think it's something, Brother Joy, that the Bible says that we are vessels. Vessels of honor. We need to be full of something. And there's some vessels that God will use, and there's some that God says are dishonorable vessels. And so look here, and this woman, she's full of good deeds. She's full of alms deeds that she's done and good works. And so, you know, we could go throughout the Bible, and I know just to set some examples, there's a little widow woman, and she come along one day, and the Bible says she gave 2 mites. My goodness, that's not much. 2 mites. That's less than saying 2 pennies. She got 2 mites. And maybe they people snigger about that and think, well, 2 mites. They can't give 2 mites. And others, they were making a big presentation of what they were able to give. But Jesus said that woman gave more than all of y'all. Because she gave everything she had. She was full of what? That's a woman that was full of good works. Even though she was not able to do much, the Lord said she's done more than anybody else here. Because she gave all she had. She lived out her faith and God received the glory. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Of course, it's talking about putting off the old man and the things you used to do. Quit doing that. And you're a new man. Everything about you is new. And so verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's a totally different mindset than most people have in our day and time. And not so much here at Clear Branch. I'm not insulting the church here. I want you to know that. That's not anything against you. But the world as a whole, we've about quit looking at the benefit of others. And how might I help someone? How might I encourage someone? How might I use what I have to help another? And so God expects us to use what we have to advance His kingdom work. Now, I want you to hear that this morning and understand that the things that He has blessed us with are not simply for personal gain alone, but for those in need around us. Obviously, we have to use wisdom when it comes to that. Brother Ryan, you know, Bible says if we know to do good and do it not, it's sin. But you can look around and say, there's a lot of good to be done. And you start making a list. I believe that we need to be led of the Lord in even the good that we try to do. And there's a reason for that. I know I've pointed this out many times, but the Lord told Paul to preach over here and don't preach over here. And only God knows that. And if he had a preached over here, it would not have been good, even though it might seem to be good to us. So he said, don't go down to Asia, but rather you go over here to Macedonia. You can't. The Holy Ghost forbid him to go there. And it's good that we look to the Lord. Matthew 7 verse 6 says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. That's the Word of God as well. And so sometimes, God may restrain us from doing something. As Brother Freddie mentioned this morning, maybe monetarily or something going to try to give to someone, and God said, no, not right now. And then later on, you understand why. God expects a man to work. And it may be that if you go over here to try to help this person and God's not in it, if he's not willing to work, well, you just enable him to be lazy. And so we need to be led of the Lord. Now, that being said, there's plenty of opportunity to use our ability that God has blessed us with to minister to a need in the life of another. You don't have to look far to see that. And that's what God has called us to do. Matter of fact, you say, well, we're here for the gospel. Let's look at Jesus just a minute, because Jesus was the living gospel walking before men. And everywhere he went, the end result was men needed to be saved. But the way Jesus approached that many times, he approached those spiritual needs by ministering to a physical need of others. He turned the water into wine. There was a need there at the party, his mother asked. He turned water into wine, but why did he really do it? Well, the end result, he wanted people to believe. He healed the sick. You know there's many that Jesus didn't heal. Matter of fact, you're going to read Paul. Paul had the apostolic gift, uniqueness, that was unique to those apostles. He was an apostle called out of due season. He had the gift of healing, laying hands on someone and healing them. You know there come a time where he didn't do that? The Bible said he left a man in Miletus sick. He left him there sick. Even that gift was for something greater. But still, they were healing the sick was why? So some would believe. Lazarus arose from the dead. Why? Because many believed. And Jesus helped with a physical need there. He fed 5,000. You look at that situation. It was a time when Jesus hungered. And he didn't turn stones to bread, did he? Why? He was just as hungry as those people out in the wilderness. But he didn't do it. But here you have 5,000 people, and he could have said, look, I've been with church, has been dismissed. Y'all can go home and eat. He could have did that. But he didn't. He looked at him, he had compassion on them, and he took care of a physical need. Why? So many would believe. My favorite holiday is coming up. Ain't talking about Christmas now. Talking about Thanksgiving. If you don't look, you'll miss Thanksgiving, because it's kind of hidden in there between all the other holidays, and Christmas come up. Christmas starts back in about June now, and goes through December, and we kind of clean up for a brief period, and it starts over again. And we miss Thanksgiving just about all together, but you stop and think about Thanksgiving time. We have the opportunity to come together as family or whatever, however you do it. I know everybody does things different, but just to take time to thank God for what He's done for us. Alright, so He brought me. I tell you what, you're looking at a man who has a reason to be thankful. He has brought me out of the miry clay. He gave me a firm foundation. He has blessed me indeed. Look, we could stand up here and count blessings, and we'd be here whenever it got dark tonight. You think about how God has blessed. He has certainly done that. And so when I looked, I said, you know what? I owe him everything. I owe him everything. There's nothing I could have earned without him helping me. There's nothing I could have done without him giving me the breath to be able to do it. Or I can't even walk without him holding my hand. And yet he's allowed me to be blessed the way that I am. And he says, if you give unto the least of these, you did it unto me. I won't let that set on our heart this morning. As much as God blessed you, he said, if you help somebody else, he said, you did that for me. You helped me. I want to encourage you with this reminder as well as we close. You cannot outgive the Lord. No matter how hard you try, you cannot do it. Look into the world. Look around you. See those that are around you and see, is there not a need that you might be able to help with? Might be something simple that you could do, nobody else can do. But that one simple little thing might be the difference between somebody being lost, somebody getting saved. That's for something.